fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and rolling for this, the 28th day of February, the final day of February, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you want to click on the tab called Chat Room and jump into the madcap, real-time, multimedia, zany, wacky extravaganza that is The Horn Chat Room between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, otherwise known as the hours during which this program is live. If you pick out a screen name, if you pick out a password, you will be immediately met by Anatole, Earther, Hoghead, Chug-a-Punch, Steve from Georgia Stan, BT Bomb, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, because he is in fact a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space and is in fact man cave. Yes. Thank you very kindly, Anatole, letting me know 5x5 from Birmingham, Ohio. I had no idea there was a Birmingham, Ohio. I only knew about the one in England and the one in Alabama. This is a listener-supported operation. There are no ads here, no Buy Gold Now, no Bose Wave radios or floors made by deforesting the rainforests of South America or South Asia. No. No steel buildings made in China. No, 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 no. All we have is programming. You know, the nature of commercial programming is not to provide you with anything. It is to provide you to advertisers. Everything else is just filler. But you'll not find that here. This is real programming. This is a conversation that has been in excess of 12 years in the making. Mm-hmm. And it relies on your goodwill. Thanks very kindly to Steve and Karen and Steve and Miss Karen and Cletus for getting us started this evening. Our fundraising goal to wipe out the month of February and nudge the Norsky and lick the Lithuanian. Hi, Chris. Hi, Marcy. Is $130. $130. We try to raise $200 every evening, so if we did that, that would be cool, but it takes $130 to finish fundraising. I was hoping we were going to do that last night, just so we'd have a little bit of a cushion, but apparently we're going to sweat that and hope that we see it materialize today. It would have been much worse, but thanks very kindly to our subscribers who this evening are Leo and Philip and Sharon and Dave. Thanks to them, we're able to be at $130. And thanks, of course, to Steve from Georgia Stan and Ms. Karen and Cletus. Cletus is such a good girl. She's a good puppy. So, hopefully, you know, that's what, 10 at 13, 13 at 10, 1 at 1:30, 2 at 65, 4 at 32:50, 8 at 16 and a quarter. You know, ciphering my Achilles heel. So that's where we are. $130 to go. So it is Titanic Tuesday on the horn this 28th day of February. And kind of a program note on the front end. I mentioned last night that I had had a gut relapse. And I have. And it's ugly. And has been ugly. And so I'm back to not eating food for the past 2 days. And quite honestly, I was carrying on a conversation before the program. I wasn't sure if I was going to hot up the mic. But I felt like I had to. And so I'm here. The only difference being there's no guarantee as to how long I will be here. I don't know how to explain it, but you just kind of feel weak and fuzzy and foggy and crappy and mean. And you're not you when you're hungry, and I can't have a Snickers. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to get through 3 hours of program. I got a thundering headache, by the way, and I really, really hate it. Took some ibuprofen right before airtime. Hopefully that will provide some relief. But the thing is, I'm loaded for bear. And we got a rich abundance of stuff to talk about on this Titanic Tuesday, and it is Titanic Tuesday. You may remember Titanic Tuesday gets its name from a declaration proudly made by America's greatest living monotone, who was no longer on the air, made several years ago over in Beckley in America's fifth smallest radio market, where one of the knuckle-breathing, mouth-walking callers kind of said, "Steve, how come it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." Oblivious, of course, to the entire geologic epochs, eons, history, prehistory of things moving around on this here little planet. And America's greatest living monotone said, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Only he probably didn't put quite so much expression into it as I just did. And to this day, we're still waiting. No mention of the Titanic 2-minute egg timer. Big table there on the Titanic. Big table. Mm-hmm. So we have plenty to celebrate. It's the last day of Black History Month. And, oh, gracious sakes alive. The super geniuses of the Comrade Kumquat regime. Yes, I heard, News Ninja Gene, I heard. See, I said regime and not administration. And members of the Comrade Kumquat regime took Black History Month out in with real, no, not panache, real stupid. I'll quit complaining. Earther pointing out, what about our Bob Kincaidian sleep rhythms? I didn't know there were Kincaidian rhythms, but now I do. That's when you stay up till 6 a.m. listening to the horn and realize you have to go to work at 7. Thanks, Bob Bama. Oh, once upon a time, a million years ago, in a little college in central Missouri, my nickname was actually Bama, B-A-M-A, yeah. I want to, but before we jump into the manifestations of Titanic Tuesday, in which we will, in fact, celebrate, we will take note of full steam ahead. That's an iceberg out there, and we're going to slap the shit out of it. Thinking that occurs inside the right wing. Before we do that, I want to share a note that I got overnight from Terrace. Well, not overnight. It actually came in this morning. Terrace is responding to Jay Cruzan's call toward the end of the program last night. And I'm okay with this kind of conversation because, one, we're being civil about it. And, you know, hopefully we are all working toward a common goal here, and that is to get out from under the living hell in which we find ourselves. Terrace writes, "Unless we're born spoiled rich or fall into lucky circumstances, reality eventually butts into our lives. Growing up sucks. We Americans inherited a system that allows for a maximum of two parties. The Koch brothers' Article 5 convention will undoubtedly change our government for the worse. Until then, at the federal level, there are Republicans and Democrats. There is no telling independence from Republicans and Democrats. Third and fourth parties like Green, Libertarian, and Freedom are all hallucinations. Many of us are disappointed by a Democratic Party that forced the Clintons upon us. I voted, Terrace says, for Governor Moonbeam in the 1992 primaries. If you hate the DNC now, you probably don't know anything about circa 1992 Democrats who were bloodied by 12 years of Reagan-Bush. They welcomed regressive Reagan Democrats back into the party. I didn't agree with that strategy, but nobody asked me. I wasn't at the 1992 convention, but my brother-in-law was. Jerry Brown's delegates fought tooth and nail for a progressive platform and candidate. Needless to say, they were brushed aside by George Soros. Sound familiar? Unsurprisingly, a jolly, compassionate conservative from Arkansas wasn't enough. Ross Perot put Bill Clinton into the White House. Republicans might not be imaginative, but they aren't stupid. They financially supported Ralph Nader and Jill Stein later. Thanks to Citizens United, they can finance the Democrats' biggest threats without anyone being the wiser. And I'll add editorially, we still to this day do not know how many zeros there were on the honorarium that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy gave Jilly Jill Jill for showing up at that RT luncheon. We don't know. We don't know. Anyway, to get back to Terrace. Terrace says, thanks to Citizens United, they can finance the Democrats' biggest threats without anyone being the wiser. It's easy to become a statistic. Those who voted for Brexit didn't believe elections mattered. They thought they were sending a message instead of ruining their country. Likewise for Jill Stein voters. Likewise for Californians who will vote for secession. Terrace is in California. Elections affect our reality like little else. We don't appreciate our power because the Koch brothers want it all to themselves. Their message is the same as Putin's. Trust us. You're pathetic and powerless. Things will only get worse. It's time we all grew up, realized that fairy tales don't come true, and stopped criticizing the few Democrats who have real skin in the game. Bernie was my choice, but he lost because he said some naive things that the media jumped on. Bernie did not resonate with the majority of voting Democrats. Working Republicans and Democrats are too busy to listen to Bob and Dr. O'Brien for 3 to 5 hours per weekday. We are competing with Netflix and Xbox. There is no reason to believe that we progressives will ever reach more than a tiny percentage of voters. Disappointments like Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and hilarity will be the Democratic Party until we horn listeners have allies in D.C., and we are willing to do more than complain about imperfect candidates. If I had a spare $1 million, I know what I'd do with it, Terrace says. But nothing, it seems, will convince you. He's addressing himself to Jay Cruzan. You were willing yesterday to call in to talk directly to the community. I'm returning the favor. It takes time to call in. It takes time to write letters. The next 4 years will be disastrous. We might not be united, but we will all suffer together. We are friends and allies in this fight. I cannot say the same for those who still believe they were justified to cast a selfish vote for Jill Stein when so many vulnerable people were at risk of being subjected to the worst the United States has to offer. Repiglicans are the entire world's enemy. Third-party believers are their unwitting allies. I would add to that, enablers. Signed, Terrace, out in California. It's a heck of a note. And there's a lot of truth in it. And the fact of the matter is, even if we, it doesn't matter how much I sing Kumbaya, it absolutely does not matter how much I sing Kumbaya, if I was willing to. It would not change the fact that there are a bunch of people out there right now, even as we speak, still, 4 days past, 3 days past Saturday, in snit condition alpha, because Tom Perez is going to be the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, and Keith Ellison's going to be his chief deputy. I do not know how to reach people who insist upon absolute ideological purity. I mean, there are great sayings out there. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I've tried in my own right these last few days talking about things we would not be talking about if a few tens of thousands of Americans had gotten something right instead of wrong. I didn't have enough time with Jay Cruzan last night because the program was almost over to fully explore the issue. But holy mackerel. I mean, it really, because I do pay attention and because of what I do here for 3 hours every evening and about 8 extra hours a day in the way of reading and prep and just, you know, trying to consume information, I see what's going on. I saw one guy who is lauded as a big-time progressive. Saw a video from him deconstructing an interview that Jake Tapper did with Bernie. Again, over the DNC election. The likes of which we have not had since the 1980s, by the way. Because when you've got a Democratic president, the Democratic president just names the head of the DNC and it's over. But I watched this thing, and the guy was just full of venom and vitriol, piss and vinegar. And he was right there telling, kind of the way that I talk to sound clips here. Well, he was doing the same shtick, except he was telling Bernie that he, Bernie, is an idiot. Now, this guy is obviously a member of the Sparkle Fart-powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade. And it's just a little... How can I put this? It's a little disheartening to know that with the hardcore brute work that we have ahead of us, that as far as 2018 is concerned, when we need to just peel off a relatively small handful of Republican seats to get the House, we're never going to get the Senate in 18. It's just not going to happen. But that still amounts to hard work. We are apparently on this side determined to go forward, if forward can be, if you can use that word to describe the direction we're going to travel, go forward taking one step forward and two steps back with our foot in a bucket. And I, honest to Jesus, do not have any idea how to reach out into those vast and vacuum-ridden reaches of deep space where the Sparkle Fart-powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade lives on pure vacuum. I don't know. So all I can do is point to the problem and hope to the best of my ability that we can look for and eventually find something that vaguely resembles a solution. So that's that, just by way of getting the program started. And just as an example now, another email that rolled in a little bit before the program, just about a half an hour before the program, from our buddy Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, people that voted for Trump believe this crap. And this certainly fits well with Titanic Tuesday, because you are about to hear a 200-proof manifestation of Titanic intellect. Ron says, the letter I've linked for you shows what the people that voted for Donald Trump believe. You and I know none of this is even remotely true, but because they believe that those lazy Negroes, Latinos, and anyone that's not them is getting free stuff, they will set themselves on fire to stop it. I, like you, Ron says, have a tattered robe with moons and stars and a magic eight ball. But mine doesn't say, answer hazy, ask again later. Mine says, shit is about to hit the fan. To what does Ron refer? This. From the Charlotte News and Observer. A letter to the editor from one John Dupree. Cowbell to the first person who knows what bumper I'm going to use for this. John Dupree writes to the Charlotte News and Observer and says, regarding the February 25th column, The National Death Wish. Oh dear, how did I miss that? The author's points are well taken. The seeds of this situation were sown back in the mid-1960s with LBJ's Great Society. Now, the mere mention of LBJ's Great Society of the late 1960s tells me that what we've got here is a, sure enough, at least 10, 15, 20-year-long listener to Flush Flimball, the oxymoron. Because the right wing has been howling from National Review to the Cato Institute to the American Enterprise Institute to the Competitive Enterprise Institute to the American Petroleum Association to the Ayn Rand Fan Club about the Great Society welfare curse. So anyway, we know at least here what we're dealing with. We the people created this problem by government welfare programs. Mm-hmm. When someone is given free housing, free food stamps, free medical care, free cell phones, etc. You'd think you could have come up with some more free stuff, but Brother Dupree is a busy man. The need to work for a living disappears. These attitudes are reflected constantly by those who feel the need to work and contribute are not relevant, and the entitlement system is a right and not a privilege. You know, the privilege of poverty. This current void has been filled by immigrants who are here illegally, who had to work to survive. This is unlike a significant percentage of Americans who live off the government dole and contribute nothing to the labor force. I don't know why they ain't out there chopping cotton like their great-grandmammies and great-grandpappies did, but they ain't. Okay, I added that part because I'm a smartass. This, right, labor force. When this country was built by immigrants, there was no safety net. Only people who were looking for a better life that could only be found here. They had to work to survive, or didn't. So, we are probably cutting our own throats with the proposed legislation. So, until we get realistic about the entitlement system, this proposed legislation will probably only make it worse. This fits nicely in Titanic Tuesday simply because it is a near picture perfect manifestation of the I got mine FU attitude that infects the vast majority of the white wing today. I mean, somebody must have been doing something right because obviously they worked hard and they survived and they entered the labor market and didn't ask for no free nothing, no handouts, no how, no way, so that John Dupree could sit proudly behind his keyboard somewhere in North Carolina stand and proudly type one letter at a time, slowly, ever so slowly, with two battered index fingers. His screed on shiftlessness. So to, yes, I get what you mean about your magic eight ball, Ron. It's about to get real, real. Because, see, if the right wing gets its way, public housing is gone. Because, you know, people don't need a place to live if they are not willing to work. And never mind the fact that nobody hardly in America can get full-time work no more because, well, you know, Republican business owners abusing workers because, you know, no unions. Never mind that. And I guess he's going to turn them all out and send them down to Florida to pick tomatoes. And that means we can round up all the Mexicans and El Salvadorans and Guatemalans and Costa Ricans and Hondurans and Panamanians and Colombians and Peruvians and Chileans and Ecuadorans and send them all packing home. Just put them on a flight to Mexico City and say, hell with it. And then we won't have no problem. And all them shiftless people living in that public housing with the free cell phones and the free health care and the free this and the free that, well, then they'll know what it means to have a have a work ethic. You know, just like they had back before that little old dust-up back in 1861. Yes. Jesus, I wish I was kidding. Jesus, I wish that wasn't real. But it is. Oh, yeah, baby. It is. Well, of course it does, Ace is pointing out. Mr. John Dufree sure has a thick cornpone accent there. Well, of course it does, because this is the accent that you use when you talk about people laying around in their welfare hammocks using their free stuff and not having a proper work ethic. Don't you understand? Naturally. But that's only the beginning of a far-ranging Titanic Tuesday. And thanks, by the way. Thanks very kindly. Our buddy Keith jumped in behind Steve and Miss Karen and Cletus, and we now have only $120 to go to finish out the month of February. And I got my fingers crossed and my toes crossed, and this here table's made out of solid wood, and even though every now and then I mute the microphone and just kind of knock on it, we might finish off $120. What else, you might ask? Well, I had a nice conversation Sunday evening with Thomas over at FYINation.com. And we had a little conversation about, because he told me, and gosh darn it, I mean, there's a lot of things in this world I don't like. One of the things I don't like the mostest is getting preempted anywhere for any reason, because I are an egomaniac that way. Get out of my brain, John Dupree. But he was going to preempt me to have a round table of sorts in advance, you know, at about 8 p.m., in advance of Comrade Kumquat opening his gob and making noises with his face at about 9 p.m. And I just pointed out to Thomas, you know, do we really want to give free airtime to Marcus Aurelius? Do we really want to do that? I mean, it wasn't my call. It's his network. It's his call. But if I was going to be on at 9, no, we wouldn't. If I need to know what that ignorant, bigoted, racist, xenophobic, misogynistic, serial adulterer, serial committer of sexual assault has to say, I can go, and I suggest not telling you what to do. Quit telling us how to... No, but I can go and read a transcript. I do not have to see his filthy face. I don't have to see his tiny little grasping toddler nasty hands. I don't have to hear thought processes that began in some spirochete hollowed out corner of his syphilitic brain. I can just read the transcript. And so it is that, you know, he'll be speechifying tonight, if you can call it that. He'll be reading words. And I'm sure he's been practicing. Did they let him write his own? I don't know. This is being billed as sort of a substitute for the State of the Union address. So it will have a Democratic response being offered by the former governor of Kentucky. And as David in South Carolina, Stan, points out, his special guests at his speech tonight are families of people murdered by illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. Democrats are countering by putting people in the gallery. That Donald Trump hates and wants to destroy. You know, moms, dads, kids, Hispanics, Muslims. Yeah. I'm not telling you what to watch or what not to watch. I'm telling you I won't be watching. I also will not be listening. I'll read a transcript when it's all over. No way of knowing. Marty asks, do you imagine MLB or NFL radio will actually air, or might they air their own programming? Wait a minute, it's Tuesday. Hell, there might be a Mountaineer basketball game on. Hell, my Mountaineers are number 12. Granted, we squeaked past TCU, for God's sakes, by 1 point on Saturday, but goes in the W column. We split home and home with Kansas. That was impressive. Kansas, number 3. And, you know, tomorrow's the first day of March, so the madness will soon be setting in. Yes. So do as you please with the Trump speech tonight, but I'm just telling you where I'm going to be. I will not give that man my eyeballs. I will not. I just won't. I know I don't have any impact. You don't, unless you're a Nielsen family, you don't have any impact on his goddamn ratings. But why do we even need to see his disgusting gob sitting there spewing hate and filth? Not me. Mm-mm. No. Not me. Because I get enough of him day after day after day after day. I don't know if you're aware of it. You probably are. You're more well-informed than I am. But there was another wave of bomb threats at Jewish community centers. Yesterday. Started in the east and went all the way to the west, and in fact made it all the way to a bomb threat at a Jewish community center in Anchorage, Alaska, where children were hustled out into the freezing temperatures to wait while people made sure that some Trumpansy voter hadn't actually really planted a bomb in their space. Mm-hmm. It's despicable. It's disgusting. And based on what we know of the things that have been published by that website that begins that rhymes with light and fart and Stormfront and Daily Stormer and Identity Evropa, who were flyering the campus of Ohio University the other day. You're familiar with Identity Evropa, a bunch of goddamn filthy ass ignorant neo Nazis. Yeah, they were flyering Ohio University yesterday. I got word. This is the third such wave of bomb threats against Jewish community centers. And as an added horror, there's now another new thing that is traveling the country. because a historic Jewish cemetery in Philadelphia has been found to have been vandalized a week after the one in St. Louis was. Yeah. Asked about it, Spicer, said it was absurd to suggest that there was any connection to the Clementine Caligula. Herr Twitler. Never mind the fact that calling in bomb threats to Jewish community centers is exactly the kind of thing that his base does. And I will remind it, and people are probably tired of hearing it, but I'm sorry. Let's do remember that Milo Yiannopoulos and none other than racist Bannon, special counselor to the President of the United States, agreed on air last year that at least 50% or more of the base of the Republican Party is alt-right, alt-white neo-Nazi. Yesterday's wave of bomb threats covered 13 separate states, multiple locations in New York and New Jersey, Washington State, California, Arizona. Seattle, Tucson, Scottsdale, La Jolla, California. The Anti-Defamation League office in San Francisco also got a bomb threat. And so necessarily, White House Press Secretary Spicer, said yesterday that the Tangerine Tiberius, quote, continues to condemn these and any form of anti-Semitic and hateful acts in the strongest terms. You know, except for the fact that he doesn't. Standing there and saying, I condemn these things in the strongest possible terms. No, you're not using the strongest possible terms. Spicer went on and said, from our country's founding, we've been dedicated to protecting the freedom of our citizens' right to worship. No one in America should feel afraid to follow the religion of their choosing freely and openly. This might come as news to the little dead girls who have been in their graves for 50 years or more, who were part of a Baptist church that was bombed by the Klan. You know, people whose kids and grandkids grew up to vote for Donald J. Goddamn Trump in Birmingham, Alabama. And then this. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be Muslim. You don't have to be Hindu, Sikh, animist, Christian. You don't have to be any religion at all to be outraged by the acts of these monsters. You can believe in no gods whatsoever or the flying spaghetti monster, and it is still disgusting. Targeting people for a religious practice? And the thing about these bomb threats is that sooner or later one of them's going to be real. And you know that, and I know that. And most particularly the people who attend these houses of worship, these schools. Know that. I I cannot begin to put myself in the place of someone with the heritage that the Jewish people have. I'd probably be a mess every day. Just wondering when it was going to happen to me. All the calls came in within a couple of hours of each other, according to CBS News. Someone from U.S. law enforcement, which I take to mean the FBI, said the phone calls appear to be coordinated, and they're coming from both within the country and from overseas. Yes. The law enforcement official also said that it's problematic because it's law enforcement is saying that they're probably not going to catch anybody. Nassau County in New York say they're going to continue intensive patrols at all places of worship. Suffolk County is doing the same. They'll also be patrolling Jewish cemeteries and religious institutions. They threatened the San Francisco office of the Anti-Defamation League this week. Last week, it was the national office headquarters in Manhattan. As CBS reports, but as of late Monday, finding an answer to who was behind the threats was something that not even the FBI had been able to do yet. Somebody could simply buy a throwaway cell phone from Dwayne Reed and give us a fake name, and now you have a number that can't be traced back, said security expert and former FBI agent Manny Gomez. They could be robots making the calls. There's mention it could be cloned phones. So, among other things, some congregations are being asked to cough up extra money, in one case an extra $36, to pay for increased security for whenever it is that these Trump voters decide to kick it up a notch. Bam! And yeah, in Philadelphia, Mount Carmel Cemetery, more than 100 headstones vandalized. And then, this. When he was asked about it today, do you know who Trump blamed for it? For this wave of bomb threats? The Jews. Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro was part of a group of state attorneys general who met with Trump at the White House today. And when the issue of the bomb threats came up, Shapiro noted, he just said, "Sometimes it's the reverse, to make people or to make others look bad." Josh Shapiro said it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but he used the word reverse two or three times. Also said the attacks were reprehensible. That must be a new word he's learned. And says he's going to address the issue of the bomb threats, you know, tonight in the speech. How the hell is he going to do that? "And so I'm saying to my voters and my followers who are out there working hard to make America great again, Stop calling in bomb threats to the Jewish community centers. That doesn't make America great. Okay? Sieg Heil, y'all. Somebody's been, I don't know, maybe he's been Snapchatting with Alex Jones.
False flag, Mr. President, false flag. These are Jews calling in bomb threats to their own Jew buildings.
But at least he's mentioning that. He still has not mentioned the attack in Olathe, Kansas that took the life of Indian immigrant Srinivas Kuchibhotla. You remember him. He was minding his own business at a place called the Austin's Bar and Grill in Olathe, Kansas, when a Trumpanzee began screaming at him and his buddy. Yeah. Alongside him, also wounded, was Alok Madassini. And a local guy, Ian Grillo, I don't know. White guy. Tried to intervene. He got shot too. The Trumpanzee first approached them in the bar and asked them if they were Iranians. You probably know this all by heart by now. Adam Purinton. Looks like a Trump voter. 51 years old. After he committed his crime, he told a barmaid that he just shot some Iranian people. Uh-huh. Here's the thing. He accosted them. He accosted his victims, left, was run out of the bar, and then came back with his freedom protector. And proceeded to go from being a lawful gun owner to an awful gun owner in the space of one consonant and the teeny tiny space that has to be traveled before the pin hits the shell. Yeah. Now here's the thing. Where Trump... And this is, I submit, mainly because Ivanka has mentioned it to him, where Trump, at least, while blaming the Jews, did at least say that the bomb threats are reprehensible. It has been a week, 6 days, since the shooting in Olathe, Kansas. And hell, President Donald J. Trump hasn't even offered the family of Srinivas Kuchibhotla or the wounded thoughts and prayers. Haven't seen a whole bunch of people changing their avatar to the flag of India on Facebook or anything. Not a word. Well, okay, there's been a word, but it came from Sean Sphincter, or Spicer. Last week he said, now people shouldn't jump to conclusions about why the shooter murdered somebody. Jumping to conclusions. Yeah. Meanwhile, Mr. Kuchibotla's widow says she needs an answer. Remember how the Repig Lickens and the Birthers, Deathers, Ninthers, Tenthers, Deathers, Birchers, Booger Eaters always made fun of Barack Obama when he would reach out to try to manifest some sympathy for the victims of people who get caught up in the NRA's death lottery? Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry about that now. I guess here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. Hey, we don't send thoughts. President Trump doesn't send thoughts and prayers. Because who knows what kind of thoughts and prayers those people have. It's not like they worship a respectable God. He don't know whether to offer prayers to that peanut God or the one with all the arms. I mean, he don't know. So better just to remain silent. One of the most heartbreaking things I saw where this story is concerned. Was an interview with the man's widow, where she said, "I kept telling him, we love being here, but now I don't think we're safe." She was right. And guess what? It's by design. If you're a Muslim in this country, you're not safe. If you're Jewish in this country, you're not safe. If you're Hispanic in this country, you are not safe. And if you are subject to being misidentified by some godforsaken, ignorant, gunned-up troll as any one of those, you aren't safe either. You're not safe if you're Indian. You're not safe if you're Sikh. You are not safe. If you are an ally to any of these people, you aren't safe. Because by God, the Trumpanzees have the bit in their teeth, and they got lots of guns. And they are empowered.
You know, sometimes these people do things in reverse to make people or make others look bad.
Because that's all this bastard can do. Is think about himself.
he did a softball interview with Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy and whoever the blonde of the moment is that sits between them from Fox and Friends, and they asked him to grade himself, and he gave himself an A-plus for intent and a C to a C-plus I forget how he described it. But the best part of that was when they asked him, has there ever been a time that you've heard somebody say something about you, a criticism of you, and you thought, well, I deserve that? No, I don't think that's ever happened, no. What did Plato say? How is it translated? The unexamined life is not worth living. Is there any evidence to suggest that Donald J. Trump has ever examined his own life? You know, there's that one step in the 12 steps that talks about making a searching inquiry. And I've told by people who work the steps that that is hard. The only thing harder is turning around and making I forget how the language goes, but making reparations or making apologizing. I remember when we thought that George W. Bush was probably the least introspective man in modern memory ever to occupy the White House. We have found out in the course of, Jesus, 38 days, that it is possible to be less self-examining, less introspective than even he was. And I want us to have things, you know, we can't just constantly be going through this stuff and not have anything to hope for. But I got to tell you where this is. Sometimes I look up and I'm licked. And again, just this line that popped into my head the other day that doesn't seem to want to go away. To stare in wide-eyed wonder at the monumental horror of it all. It's where I am. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot like Alex from that scene in A Clockwork Orange. Not that, you know, not that I've done anything in any of the stuff that he did to get, but, you know, where they've got the little framework on and he's watching the screen and they've got his eyelids popped open where he can't even, you know, they're just forced open where he can't even blink, and they walk over every now and then and they put a drip, 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 couple of drops of you know, probably branch water. Saline, whatever, in his eyes to keep him from getting all dried out, but he cannot look away. You feel like that? Or is it just me? Is this just something that's happening because I've been out of Thorazine darts for so long? Because I talk to people and you know, here, around, email, what have you. And I get the idea that I'm not the only one. And I want something. I mean, we can't just live. We can't. We cannot simply live on fury. Because it's like an acid that eats us up from the inside out. And I don't know about you, but I need something. I don't know what the something is. I joke about, you know, a pitcher full of frozen margaritas, but the fact of the matter is that makes it go away for a little bit if you can tear yourself away from the wide-eyed monumental horror of it all. But the next morning you get up and it's still there, and now you got a headache. So I don't know. That's why we talk about food here. That's why we talk about movies here. That's why we talk about what is and isn't good on, you know, TV or books or however it is that we manage to just to look away from time to time. I swear, if I have to buy clay pots to do it in, when spring gets here, I'm raising me some tomatoes. And we may have 6 months of tomato talk here on the horn. You know, just the whole before enlightenment, gather wood, carry water. After enlightenment, gather wood, carry water. That. Notes coming in. Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, and this being Steve in China, the parliament you don't have. George W. Bush used to mangle the English language because, quite obviously, he was incapable of expressing whatever thoughts were there to begin with. Trump is an intellectual sloth. He doesn't bother, since he also doesn't care to express anything of merit. Which brings me to this. There are those who don't read Machiavelli, but instead practice it well. This is power. The rest, for what it's worth, debate and old philosophy. Never thought about that there could be people out there, Steve, who just come natural to Machiavelli. Kind of like Jethro Bodine, born with a full set of teeth, just like a beaver. Maybe that was the mother's milk on which he nursed in the cradle. Just pure self-interest. Maybe that's what he got from his Klansman daddy. You know, among other things. Meanwhile, going back to Cousin Dupree, Tracy with a note says, well, speaking for shiftless Negroes around the country, we are using our masses in Congress as examples on lying around and getting health care, housing, cell phones, and money for doing absolutely nothing. Congress is finally leading by example. Love, your favorite Negro, Miss Tracy. Yep. That's true. And that's the question these Republicans hate most when they nut up and have a town hall. What kind of health care do you have? Best socialized medicine America can offer. Ah! No, they just sort of look away and, oh, shucks. My mama done told me. Bring home something for dinner. And they all just turn into Beaky Buzzard. Mm-hmm. So here we are at 9 minutes past the hour. Thank you to Kitty for jumping in on the fundraising. Thank you to Charlene jumping in. Let's see. I'm doing some ciphering here. Yep, we have, I can happily report, thanks to Kitty and Charlene and Frank and Keith and Steve, we have nudged the Norsky and licked the Lithuanian. Yay! That works very nicely. Thank you very, very kindly. So, and, you know, 30 more bucks and we will be done. We'll actually have raised the $200 for this evening, so that'll be wonderful. Thank you. Okay, 10 past the hour, and this is, after all, conversation radio. I'm probably not at the top of my game. At least I don't feel like I am. But that doesn't mean that I'm not game for a couple of phone calls if anybody wants to engage in the said conversation part of conversation radio. The stress line, which works for some and not for others, is 304-663-4676. And, of course, the other line is 304-574-8178. And Skype to Skype, from anywhere on this little old blue-green marble hurtling through the universe, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, Horn, H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. Email, if you're of an emailing mind, Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter, like Clarity did, reminding me that the Indian victim worker had reassured his wife that they would be safe after Trump was elected. She works for the same company. That's at Bob Kincaid, again, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, on Twitter. Lots of different ways to reach the program. And, you know, I hope you'll choose so to do. This is Tuesday, but I don't think we get the Green News Report today. I think Brad and Desi are still off. So a little break, and then we'll see which way y'all want to go. It's as easy as that. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Playing gin by a crackling fire, I decided to make my play. I said, babe, with my boy, you're charming, good looks, how can you stand it for one more day? She said, maybe it's the skeevy look in your eyes that your mind has turned to applesauce. Dreary architecture of your soul, I said, but what is it exactly turns you off?
You know, Ron from Raleigh sent us the letter to the editor from Cousin Dupree from the News Observer. I'm surprised this song wasn't waiting in my email inbox, but no, I came up with it on my own. Cousin Dupree from Two Against Nature, Steely Dan, back in, oh my God, what, the late 90s, 2000 something? Yeah, Cousin Dupree. just got a note from Andy the Angry Jew. He's claimed that title, so, you know, it's what he is. He said, only Steely Dan can make incest sound good. Well, you know, the music at least. The lyrics still make, you know, the little hairs crawl around up and down my spine. Just, Uncle Daddy! You know, that kind of thing. But as I told Andy, that is the second creepiest incest song I know. Second creepiest. Second. The first, wait. The first creepiest is, see if I got it here. Yeah, there it is. It may take me a minute here. I mean, let's just get this out of the way, shall we?
By the time you were born, there were four other siblings, with your mama waiting, your daddy in jail, and your oldest brother was away at a home. And you didn't meet him till you were 19 years old. Old enough to know better, old enough to know better. But you took to his jawline and long sandy hair. And he made you feel like none of the others. And the way he looked at you touched you deep down in there.
Had enough? Drive-by truckers, of course. That's a song called The Deeper End. Ripped from the pages of the headlines, as the television show says. That's from Decoration Day, The Deeper End. The first creepiest incest rock and roll song I know. Things we talk about to keep from talking about. It's what I was talking about before the break. Speaking of angry, there's the angry Indian. Hey, angry.
Hey, my man.
Sorry about the interlude there, but just kind of had to get that out of the way.
Well, you channeling David Allen Cole or somebody?
No, it's just that, you know, we had
the John Dupree editor, the editor, which immediately took me to Cousin Dupree, which is a song about Steely Dan about incest. And then Andy said that was the thing.
Yeah.
And I said, that's the second creepiest incest song. So I wanted people to know what the first one was, because otherwise I would have gotten email anyway. And it just complicates things. You know how it goes.
Well, it's a fucked up subject, man.
Well, it is.
Don't let alone people singing about it. You know?
But no, that second song is based on a real story of something that...
There's a whole lot of shit like that.
Unfortunately, yes. And it ain't just... It is by no means, thinking back to when the National Mining Association's lawyers said that the birth defect study here was flawed because it failed to take into account consanguinity, which was another way of saying it was flawed because it didn't take into account that, you know, you're my sister, you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my brother. No, it is a national phenomenon, if not a worldwide one. It's
an occasion.
Maybe it's an evolution thing. I don't know.
We still have that audio of you, you discussing that. My co-producer likes to play it every now and again because she thinks it's, you know, not funny, haha funny, but just queer funny on how the coal industry tried to explain away black lung through, incest. That's the real problem. And that's what causes the black lung, you know. And besides, those people have been smoking for how many generations before they went down there in their minds, you know. So
yeah, I mean, they're all smokers. Yeah, that's the way it was with black lung. The coal company said, yeah, they're all smokers, even the ones who aren't.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I mean, it's just the way that they were they pulled that. You know, it's like somebody found a word that isn't commonly used and they decided, well, you know, let's use this and get everybody wondering about what the fuck we're talking about. In the meantime, when they do look it up, we all know today's hillbillies, and they don't have teeth, and that they fuck each other. So they'll just go ahead and they'll spin on that. And in the meantime, we'll, you know, destroy whatever fucking mountains and rivers and lakes and shit that we need.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you noticed, but you remember 2 or 3 weeks ago when the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini killed the stream protection rule? You remember that, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, today he went after the waters of the U.S. rule,
and it's gone.
Well, it's not gone. He's just signed an executive order telling the EPA to take it out behind the barn and beat it to death for a while with an old piece of rusty rebar.
So it was gone. Like I said, this is where you and I have disagreed. Here it was that, you know, Obama came in. He could have signed executive order after executive order to do all of the things that he promised to do in 2008. And then for whatever reason, they weren't done in 4 years, and then he promised again. And, you know, the public gave him another chance. Guantanamo is still open. The Republicans poisoned all of the fucking water in Detroit and so on. I mean, not Detroit, Flint. They did. Well, Detroit doesn't exist any goddamn more, right? So, you know, all of these things happen, and that's just, you know, the basis of it. So he let some drug dealers go, and, you know, Leonard Peltier is still sitting in there. Mamiya is still sitting in there. He released a Puerto Rican freedom fighter, but, you know, that's it. So, you know, again, here comes Trump. He's going to say whatever the fuck he's going to say, but he's got it in his mind because the rules allow him to do this, that he can sign executive orders and do whatever the fuck he wants. Now, we see what's happening down in Standing Rock with the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Sabal Trail. We see this. So why wouldn't he just say, dump as much as you want? I don't care what you dump. You mean people have to drink that? Is that where we get our water at Mar-a-Lago? No? Then I'm not fucking concerned. What about the Trump Tower? No? Then I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned. I can have water brought in from Switzerland. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we don't. And look, I mean, I don't know of any way to do it, but there seems to be a cottage industry developing in the attempt to go out and you know, find your average Trumpansy and say, hey,
Donald Trump just said he's sick of us having clean water. Did you vote for that? God damn, yeah, I did. If that's what it takes to make America great again, so I can have a job down at the wire rod and bar plant.
Well,
but this isn't good. I mean, supposedly this is going to loosen up the economy, and I guess there's going to be a new foundry on every goddamn corner now. Angry, but I'm willing to bet that ain't going to happen.
No. No, it's not. No, this is what I'm telling you right now. They're already screaming here in Oregon, right? Because a lot of the goddamn farmers, you know, Georgia, California, they already said, hey, if you guys round these people up, we're not going to be able to bring in these fucking crops or manufacture a few goddamn things. Well, today they grabbed two busloads of field workers, you know, being transported on their way to work. They took about, what, I think 18 people in. I saw or something briefly. I don't quote me on that. I'm not surprised. You shouldn't be surprised. But let's go back in time a little bit. Georgia did this. Matter of fact, Mike Malloy talked about it and mocked it correctly on his show when it happened, because the fucking state decided that they were going to round up and do what the fuck Trump is doing now. And it caused a lot of people to self-deport, as they put it, right? So what ended up happening? Two fucking seasons of crops went fucking bad. They couldn't find enough white people to work at those Mexicano wages, those Nicaraguan wages, to pick those motherfucking crops. All those white people who were complaining about jobs refused to go out there and do that motherfucking work. And, you know, they just totally rescinded that goddamn rule, and you don't hear about it anymore. You don't hear about it.
No, that was the year that the state of Alabama lost its entire blueberry crop.
Well, I know Oregon is going to fuck up like that, because they've already had problems here in the Pacific Northwest. Because when I was going back and forth, actually, between here and fucking Washington State for work, they got rid of a big wheat crop. It turns out that nobody wanted to fucking buy it. The usual international buyers wouldn't take the shit because it was fucked up with Monsanto's new crops. So it was useless to these buyers. And they said, fuck it, we don't want this shit. So they ended up having to get rid of all of that. So, you know, for some, you know, strange reason, they figured that they can live without, you know, the wheat. They can live without these motherfucking workers. I mean, look, I told you, I do not believe in an open-door fucking policy. I don't. I don't. No fucking country should have an open-door policy. I mean, there's a lock on my door for a fucking reason. But you got to be reasonable with shit. You know, for all these fucking jerks who are, you know, I hear complaining, oh, they're not allowing him to do what he needs to do with the travel ban, and these people are dangerous, and this, that, and the other. You know, look for a fucking second. Look at who's coming. Ask yourself why they're fucking coming. Why do people move in the first place? Now, you can take an extreme liberal fucking position and say, well, you know, as I like to think of myself as a citizen of the world, and I should be, you know, allowed to, if I can afford to, go someplace else, perhaps maybe start a new life for myself if I wanted to, maybe because I just want to be, you know, maybe because I met a national from there. You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people move about. But you also have to be politically fucking clear that people move because of, you know, fucked up conditions. Now, we wouldn't have so many people here who speak Spanish in terms of immigration if it wasn't for the fact that the U.S. and Canada have completely fucked over Mexico's goddamn economy and always fucking have, especially after NAFTA and GATT, which I have to remind people all the time is passed by the Clinton administration. It was not passed by a Republican. It was passed by a Democrat who was, you know, fucking Republican light. And in terms of the Nicaraguans and the Costa Ricans, there's fucking in chaos going on down there because of what is supposed to be the war on drugs that is driving a lot of these people up here because their families are fucking being murdered in front of them. And, you know, ask what the banks are doing down there. Ask about what the fucking, you know, how many goddamn states in South America are still run by the children of Nazis. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact. So until anybody, you know, really, again, starts having serious discussions about what the fuck is going on. I mean, look what's being reported in the UK press today, that the suspects in the Berta Caceres murder, because we kept hearing about this in terms of Clinton.
Yeah, and there's another guy dead now.
Uh huh. Yeah. All the
I mean, there are capitalist death squads wandering all over freaking Honduras.
Yeah, but you can't tell a Republican that. They don't want to hear that. That's a leftist lie. That's fake news.
Well, them leftist lies still to stink real bad when they're left in the heat, face down in the mud.
Oh, hey, they didn't care doing Katrina. Why the fuck would they care down there? Why does anybody care? I mean, Guatemalans were just given a big, well, we're sorry, we won't do it again. We just happened to fucking, you know, sterilize a fifth of your fucking population and shit for over a 10-year period. And you know, we did the same thing in Puerto Rico, too, in our native reservations. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. We're not trying to wipe out Indians. We're just doing science. You know, we see you as just as human as we are sometimes. You know, we're not having, again, any of these real discussions, because everything comes back to white people. And I'm not talking about you, and I'm not talking about the listeners.
The majority
of white people. But I got a preamble, right? You know, the majority of white people feeling that if you really start talking about these situations, then I have to take some sort of fucking group responsibility, not individual responsibility. That's how people feel. But some kind of group responsibility for the fact that this is supposed to be a democracy and we've allowed this shit to happen. You know, nobody wants to fucking talk about that. Who the fuck wants to, you know, any goddamn community wants to admit to the fucking more negative ends, the more selfish ends of what the fuck is going on. That's why Trump and that's why Bush, you know, two people who did not win the popular goddamn vote. This needs to be pointed out. They did not win the popular vote. They got in through the legal means. Hitler did not win the popular vote. He got in through the legal means.
Oh, sure. You use the legal structures that are there against the system itself. Sure.
That's what Bannon's been talking about. He's been running around bragging about this. Now, imagine if Obama
said... Assault on the administrative state, I think, is the phrase he uses. Or deconstruction of the administrative state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I hate it when people use deconstruction in that sort of context, you know, because, Jacques Derrida, one of my heroes, you know, would take offense. And I take offense because he talked about deconstruction in terms of, you know, making a fucking real goddamn argument for what is really going on in decisions. You know, let's get into the semiotics of what the fuck has happened. Here you got Bannon, as you just said, you quoted him. We're going to take down the administrative fucking, you know, state, and we're gonna, you know, rebuild it into what? Well, that's the big question mark, and they leave it really fucking vague. They never really say this is what we have a plan for 4 years down. Well, I should say 8 years down the road, being that he fucking filed for re-election 5 hours after he got fucking elected. All right, that, you know, this he flat out said during CPAC, we put people in charge of agencies that are against the existence of those agencies. So we got somebody in charge of housing that doesn't believe in housing for poor people. We got somebody in charge of the EPA that doesn't believe in protecting the environment. We have somebody heading the education department that doesn't believe in education and thinks that segregated schools were doing black people a favor. So, you know, how else do you do this? And then he talks about Lenin. Why would a Republican talk about Lenin? Well, he wasn't talking about communism. He was just talking about the way Lenin, you know, theorized one of the ways to take over a state, which is to do what? You put your people in positions in which they make decisions that
well,
tears down
mean,
that particular institution.
Frankly, whatever else one says, Angry, Lenin was an astute student of the acquisition of power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. What I was talking about at the beginning of the program. I don't know how to reach these people who refuse to acknowledge reality, namely the nature of the political system here. I have conversations with our buddy Faith on Facebook, and she's of the same mind. I mean, Lenin said, "If you don't get as many seats at the table as you think you deserve, you don't take everybody and walk away from the table. You take the seats you get."
Yeah.
And you can't explain that to the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade.
I mean, they bitch about how bad things are, and then you say, well, yeah, but you do realize you've got to have power to enact your platform, right?
Yeah, but see, well, okay, how to put it? I agree with you, but again, you know, this is where, you know, you and I differ. Not that we disagree, but we differ. Because, yes, go ahead and fill those seats, but you can't. You take care of who the fuck fills the seat, though. You put in people who are not necessarily, well, of course, this is what ends up happening, because Marx, again, at the end of his life said that he wasn't a Marxist, because people took what he said and totally, and he said himself, I can't, well, I'm going to have to rearticulate it, basically. I can't quote him verbatim, but, you know, to the extent that he made a mistake in thinking that, you know, people, or that, you know, folks who followed his philosophies in terms of dealing, not to crush capitalism, capitalism is going to fall on its own anyway, but to deal with capitalism, if they, you know, were self-centered and so on, that the dictatorship of the proletariat would not work for the aims of the welfare of the proletariat. So it was who the fuck you put up there. I would love to see a fucking woman as president. I've been waiting for this most of my fucking political life. But I did not want to see Hillary Clinton. I did not want to see a Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I do not want to see a Betty DeVos, a fucking Sarah Palin. You know, I would like to see a Bertha Caceres.
And by the way, coming back to her, I don't know if you saw this, but this is just fairly fresh out from The Guardian. And first of all, the idea that court documents would have to be leaked, you know, that speaks to the nature of the system down there. But The Guardian reports leaked court documents raise concerns that the murder of the Honduran environmental activist Bertha Caceres was an extrajudicial killing planned by military intelligence specialists linked to the country's U.S.-trained special forces, a Guardian investigation can reveal.
Now, I don't want to sound like a, you know, I don't want to sound like a moron, but see, some of us already knew this and have been saying this, because I know I said it on my goddamn program. We knew this, because all of the fucking killers down there, they only belong to two classes. They either were fucking U.S.-trained bastards from the fucking School of the Americas, or they're part of the drug cartels who work along with the U.S.-trained death squads from the School of the Americas. But, you know, but they're doing it for their own particular, you know, monetary reasons. The other ones are doing it in terms of political fucking reasons. When Father Romero was killed, he was trained at the School of the Americas, which they don't actually call it that anymore. I forget exactly what they call it now.
Yeah, they changed. The name became toxic, right?
Yeah, you got toxic. So they said they got rid of it. But, the Barrican brothers and Martin Sheen were very instrumental in doing that. But the bottom line is, you know, the drug cartels, I mean, say we can talk about Vietnam. We can talk about Malaysia. We can talk about the entire Golden Triangle in terms of this. We can talk about what's going on in Africa right now. We can talk about the heroin that's flowing through Africa right now in terms of these things did not exist until U.S. military advisors go in and decide, okay, well, we got to, you know, take control of the situation, but we can't go and do this. So we get the criminal element that's already operative within the system, that has already bought the judges, which has already bought the police, which has already bought the such and such and such and such and so on, you know, in control of the unions and what have you. It happened during World War II with Lucky Luciano. That's how he got out of the joint. He made a deal with the U.S. Army and said, look, we need to land people in Sicily. He said, no problem. Here's my scar. Gives it to them. Says, show this to the mafioso over there and you'll get what the hell you need. The mafia was almost, you know, moribund until the U.S. Army came in there and decided to, well, we're going to help rebuild you to help us fight the Nazis. Because before that, Mussolini had them goddamn back in the hills, back to being bandits and shit, living off the fucking land.
Yeah, and said, And 60, 70 years later, it's the same story with the Taliban. They're brutal, and mm-hmm. they cut people's heads off in soccer stadiums. But they had almost entirely eradicated the illegal, you know, what would you call them? The narco warlords who financed themselves on opium poppies. Mm-hmm. We ran the Taliban out. The warlords came back in. Opium production goes through the roof. And why? Look, the United States has a fun little heroin problem now. Neat how
They've had bumper crops in Afghanistan several times. You know, it's been reported in international news, not American news, but international news. You know, like I pointed out today, you got a lot of Kurdistan, well, maybe not Kurdistan, but Kurdish fighters. You know, they're a mixture of anarchists, socialists, and communists. They're almost all atheists. You know, many of these units are led by females, and they're kicking ass. I mean, they're kicking ass over there, but you would never know. And they're taking losses. I mean, you got situations where, you know, the Daesh motherfuckers come into a town, and, you know, they're taking the women for themselves. You know, these religious fundamentalists have no respect for Muslim women. So they take whatever Muslim woman they fucking want. And, it, you know, in certain situations, these women are brave, man, and they fucking, well, you know, not lure these fuckers because these things happen. And when they get one of these fucking guys, you know, separated from the others and his gun is gone, they're stabbing these men to death. You know, this shit is really happening. But is it being reported in the West? No. No. You would never fucking know. If you're not doing a hunt for this information online, you're not going to find it. And you know, we're not able to make a rational and educated fucking decision about anything that's happening, whether it be Trump, whether it be what the fuck is happening in Afghanistan. I mean, look at what's going on with this Yemen raid. This is why I'm saying what I'm saying about the Navy. The Navy's really letting this motherfucker get away with this shit. Now he's blaming the fucking Navy for the loss of this man, of this SEAL,
yep,
on this fucking Yemen raid.
Yeah, he sure did. I mean, you're not exaggerating. He really, really, no kidding, did. And Sean Sphincter said that the man was Ryan Owens was responsible for his own death. And the line from Trump was absolutely disgusting. He said, the Obama administration planned this. They'd been wanting it for a long time. Yeah. The generals came to me and they said, we want to do this. And they're great generals. They're the best generals. I think they're probably the best generals we've ever had now. My generals. My generals. I'm not exaggerating, Angry. I mean, you know I'm not. He referred to them as my generals.
That draft dodging son of a bitch.
Which, by the way, can I just throw something out here for just general pondering and consumption? I mentioned this on Twitter earlier, alongside this same story. They are not too old. It is time for Trump's sons Udi and Cootie to join the military.
Mm-hmm.
Time to get marching, boys. Just put the business aside. Your country needs you. I mean, your daddy says that we're facing trouble from all over the place. So, you know, it's now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country, right? The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. All those things you learn in typing class. Get going, fellas. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Hey, you got the princes from the UK. They serve. You understand? Homeboy asked you did, if not what? His second tour in Afghanistan is about done? I give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those kids, I mean, whatever else you say, they actually do military jobs that puts their precious hides at risk. That one of them flies helicopters, right?
Yeah, that's the one that's on his way out, yeah. Yeah. I give credit where credit is due. I'm not into this war shit, but sometimes you have to goddamn fight. You know, another group comes in, they try to fucking take you, what you have, you know, your fucking land. You have to defend yourself. Like I said, I am no gung-ho, nothing. But if this place was ever goddamn invaded, this is my fucking home. You know, and
sure. And I don't think there's, you know, we don't have half the arsenal that the NRA booger eater Trump pansies do. But, you know, I think progressive people probably get the idea better than the others do. I mean, what about that photo of Udi and Cootie when they were gone endangered species hunting over in Africa, holding up that cheetah or whatever it was that they'd just gunned down? Well, by God, boys, you like your guns so goddamn much. How you going to do with an M16? Let's get going.
How about the elephant snout that was chopped off that Junior was holding?
You know, well, I mean, obviously, they love their shooting, so they ought to have no problems there on the range down at basic.
Yeah, but see, but they really don't like to shoot. It depends on what. See, they like to shoot at things that don't fucking shoot back, like unarmed black people. Okay, because if these fuckers were serious, and like I said, I'm anti-goddamn war, but if these fuckers are serious, you stop any motherfucking young Republican that's out here and ask them, have you signed up, son? Oh, no, I got a bad back. No, my feet. No, I have diabetes. I don't have to go. I can serve, you know, too, by not going, by being supportive here. That's the shit that I hear from motherfuckers calling any of motherfucking leftist coward and blah, 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 blah. Yo, yeah, really? Look, brother Bob, if anybody fucking invaded us, Mexico, Canada, whoever the fuck, right? I don't give a fuck who it was. These fucking candy asses who talk all this macho shit.
Oh, it'd be instant Romulan. All you'd see of them was assholes and elbows.
See, you know, I bet
we had to get our obligatory Star Trek reference in this evening, you understand?
Yeah, right. You know, no, I bet you the fuckers that are over here at my local church who are all, you know, gung-ho 100%, it's got to be white America only. You know, I bet these motherfuckers on their goddamn hover rounds and the ones who are not on the fucking hover rounds, the ones who are not smoking meth and shit, I want to see what the fuck they would really do if we were really goddamn invaded. I bet you the fucking black neighborhoods would fight the fuck back with, you know, hand and goddamn.
Yeah, but the problem is the black neighborhoods would have to fight the meth mouth sister fisters alongside whoever the troublemaker was.
Yeah, see, that's really probably what would happen.
I mean, we've got a nation of itinerant collaborators. Look at the business with Russia. Okay, our new Secretary of Commerce is a banker to Russian oligarchs who are buddies with Pooty Poot.
That's right. But there's no conspiracy here. Let's look at Pizzagate. Let's talk about Benghazi. Gate Helm 15. Let's talk about anything. But let's not talk about this because there's nothing to see here. There's nothing. It's just fake news, man. And you believe anything?
Oh, that Devin Nunez asshole, who's now in charge of the investigation, that sumbitch actually said the problem is not Russian influence in the White House. The problem is leaks about the Russian influence in the White House. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that makes me ring the cowbell, run out the door, and start running, eating dirt and running rabbits.
But I thought they were friends of Snowden and Assange all of a sudden, that they were down with the leaks.
Oh, remember? Yeah. Oh, I mean, Comrade Kumquat said that he loved WikiLeaks. He loved leaks. Well, now the foo is on the other shit. And guess what? He don't love leaks so much anymore.
No, he don't like anything when.
And I will simply add, we still do not know what they hacked out of the RNC server.
Nope.
Because that's valuable. That is valuable kompromat.
And thank WikiLeaks for that, because they made a fucking decision on which side of this shit they were going to support. They could have released the fucking files of both parties if they were really wanting an upset, and that would have probably forced the motherfucking, well, not the system, but some change in terms of Sanders. But no, WikiLeaks decided to only put out the information on the DNC because they did hack both. Because I still get into calls to people, oh, that's fake news. They didn't hack anything. That's a goddamn lie. They hacked both motherfucking parties. Both fucking parties. Then there's a bunch of people dead or missing in Russia behind this shit. You know, oh, dude, nothing happened. What the fuck you mean nothing happened?
Yeah, Steele's primary source got all dead all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, you know. I mean, like I said, we're caught up in an Orwellian fuck-up in the sense that things are now so bizarre bizarre. I mean, not that these things did not happen, but the general public is not aware of a lot of this shit. You mentioned Litvinenko or somebody else that might have been killed, especially during the Cold War period, assassinated in the West by the KGB or East German intelligence or any of those states from the former Eastern Bloc. Unless they read spy novels or some kind of thing like that, they really don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And even then, if they've read spy novels, they figure that you're just exaggerating something that you've read or you've heard. No, the Russians really do fucking poison people. You know, it's part of their fucking culture. I mean, they've been doing this shit for the fucking longest. They do assassinate people over there. Trump acknowledges that. Didn't he not? Who was he talking to that morning when he says, hey, we got bad people too, right? He didn't even try to say, well, yeah, you know, that kind of thing is wrong and we shouldn't be doing anything like that or shouldn't be sitting by and blah, 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 blah. No, he said, hey, we got bad people, dude. We got our own bad people. You know, totally defends Russia no matter what. You know, could you imagine? I mean, they got on the Obama administration, again, an administration I did not support, just for talking to Iran, just for trying to do diplomacy. And here he is. How many people in his administration are directly connected to Russia now?
God, I mean, is there an... Rex von Tillerson?
Tillerson, he's number one. He's got to be.
I don't know. This guy at Commerce is pretty impressive, too.
Oh, he's scary because he handles their money. Your lawyer and your accountant are that's like family, especially when you're at that level, because that's who, you know, controls and covers up for you what the fuck is really going on. Your banker knows everything there is to know about you. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's reality. You know, that's just reality. You know, all these dictators have personal bankers. Trump has personal bankers. I mean, how much of Trump's money, what liquid cash he does have, is actually in the United States, do you think?
Damned little.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I told that little story toward the end of the program last night about finding out what a goddamn Philistine he is. You know, ordering his steak burnt with ketchup. 30-day dry-aged New York strip. New York strip's not my favorite, and I know you're not a meat guy. But a 30-day dry-aged New York strip that probably goes for $50 at a minimum, probably closer to 100 in his pile of bricks. And he orders it burnt with ketchup.
The man still eats McDonald's.
Here's another thing, though. A, he's got probably the finest functioning kitchen in the world operating there in the White House. There is nothing he can order that they will not make happen for him, because that's one of the cool things about being president. I want Lark's Vomit canapes. You will get Lark's Vomit canapes. But instead, he goes to his own shitty hotel. And when I say shitty hotel, I mean the people who review high-end, hoity-toity, gold toilet bowl hotels say that thing on Pennsylvania Avenue is a shitty hotel. There's one guy who's suing his crappy-ass hotel in Florida for giving him bed bugs. Okay? So, one, you leave the White House. Two, there's some pretty serious stakes to be had in Washington, D.C. But instead, he goes to his crappy restaurant, and it's not even the restaurant that was supposed to be in there, because Jose Andres said, fuck you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's big litigation going on. Jose Andres is a god in the restaurant business in D.C.,
Yeah.
And the minute that stupid bastard said Mexican rapists, Jose, who was in the middle of, I mean, they were in the middle of putting the restaurant in, and he all called up and said, nope, we're done, click. And so there's a big lawsuit going on because Trump says he was hurt. And, you know, replaced it at the last minute with, you know, whatever scumbag would be willing to work with him. And so the restaurant is called BLT. No shit. And the cheapest cocktail there is like $40, 35 maybe. You know, for like a Jack and Coke. And so, you know why he goes to his own restaurant, right? Because he gets to just sign the tab.
He's a germaphobe?
No, he gets to just sign the tab angry. He doesn't have to pay for anything. He comps himself.
So what's he charging us for? Because he's charging us for
everything. And that's the other, and that's the other thing. In the article I read, you know, people were just, you know, there was one lady who said, oh, we got these reservations a couple of weeks ago because it's for my birthday. And oh my God, there's Donald Trump. And he took a selfie with me. My goodness gracious. It's like Christmas, New Year's and 4th of July all rolled into one. And he's just a regular guy. And he told me I had great skin. No shit. But he goes to his own restaurant because his own restaurant is failing. You know, he talks about the failing New York Times all the time. Yeah, his restaurant is failing. His hotel is failing. Bookings are way the hell down. He's reduced to trying to strong arm foreign governments like the Kuwaitis into leaving one hotel and coming to his. And, you know, they come from a culture where patronage is, I mean, that's what you do for the emir, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to build the visibility of that crappy restaurant. Because it sucks. But on top of it all, after he orders his 30-day dry-aged New York strip burnt with ketchup, he just signs the check. And doesn't pay any money. Because the fucker is not liquid. Okay? I mean, he's one of the... You ever been out swanning around with somebody that's got more dollars than cents? And you get the bar tab or the dinner tab or whatever. And the guy reaches in. And he's richer than God. Okay? And he goes... I've left without any cash tonight. Would you mind covering this old sport? I've been there for that. You know, they money is what we little pissants use. If we 229 members of the House of Representatives angry. Republicans just voted to make sure nobody sees, because there is a process, a means by which the Congress can get his tax returns. There's a statute. And 229 members of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives voted to block a resolution that would have compelled Trump to turn over his tax returns to the Congress. Why? Because he is broke. He doesn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
The man's gone bankrupt four times.
Thought it was seven when you count the corporates.
Yes. Somebody.
Just like George W. Bush was the only guy who could drill for oil in Texas and not find oil in the Permian Basin. This is the only guy who can run a casino and go broke.
Yeah, that. Yeah, he blamed natives for that. He blamed all of the casino, the native casinos up in Connecticut, which at that time I think there were two. One owned by the Pequot people, and I forget who owns the other one, was with Indonesian Investment. And he went to court and says, they're not really Indians and they're not paying taxes. And God damn it, they're fucking up my casino. And he's like, your casinos in New Jersey, in Atlantic City. Yeah, but it's fucking us up because people are coming. He said this because, you know, I was in Newark at the time. He was saying, you know, that fucking, they're going to Connecticut and they're not coming to Jersey, so they're stealing my business. And, you know, got into it because you can go on YouTube and find this, got into it with the whoever the hell was questioning him because he was saying that they don't look like Indians to him. So you need to shut them down and basically making an argument that white businessmen like himself were being neglected and discriminated against.
Yeah.
This is Bush. Bush. This is Trump. Yeah, oh, yeah. Speaking of Bush, it's pretty funny when Bush comes out and says that he doesn't like to see the racism in the GOP. And you actually, you can take him seriously.
George had a little hand in that, but I mean, you know, he went to Africa and danced, so all is forgiven, right?
Yeah, I suppose. But he actually has clout. You know, some of the most racist people in the goddamn GOP can now come out with legitimacy. It's a weak legitimacy, but legitimacy, none the same. Because, I mean, what? McCain, who refuses to meet with his African relatives, you know, the descendants of the people who his people owned. You know, he's just the only one that refuses to go to these gatherings. He doesn't want to be associated with these ex-slaves. And he's now coming out and talking about the racism in the GOP and the homophobia in the GOP. And I'm finding myself actually defending him and Bush today. And it makes me feel very, very strange.
Well, it does. It does. But the thing is, the racism and the anti-Semitism and the Islamophobia and the xenophobia and the anti-trans and the homophobia that we see out of the GOP today didn't just start with the campaign of Donald Trump for president.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
No, this is no, this goes back to Ronald Reagan kicking off his campaign in Neshoba County, Philadelphia, Mississippi. This goes back. I mean, this is a generation in the making. I mean, this is Nixon's Southern strategy.
And Johnson didn't help either. You know, he didn't exactly let the Freedom Party have much say during the Democratic convention either. You know, get those niggas off the floor. You know, I mean, he was a Texas Democrat. He'll work with black people if he needed to. I mean, George Wallace did, you know. But when it came to politics, hey, look, if I got to call them niggas, I'm doing what I need to do to get elected and to get whatever I need passed. So, you know, we will be dumped when it comes to political expediency every motherfucking time. You know, I mean, whether it's here or anywhere else in the world, the United States is not unique. And see, and that's one of the other goddamn things that needs to happen here. And that's why I'm saying everybody here needs a fucking passport, need to leave this place for a little while and come back, you know, and see what the fuck else is happening. I mean, look at Aung San Suu Kyi. You know, everybody, you know, the UN, you know, let's all stand by her. She's in position over there now. She's not doing a goddamn thing for the Rohingya people. They're being killed all the time. Nothing. You know, Indonesia, they're not white, but they're stomping on fucking Papua, West Papua. We're not saying anything. You know, nobody wants to talk about China and Tibet and outside of the Dalai Lama, right? So the Dalai Lama comes around, so we look at that issue because, you know, it's a Buddhism that has ghosts and all kinds of afterlife stuff, and it's got beads and there's a lot of music and chimes, and it's really interesting and it's not boring like whatever the fuck I'm doing. So, you know, I'll pay attention to China and Tibet because of that reason. But if I was to look at China and Tibet as a racial and colonial situation, frankly, I wouldn't be interested in it. See, you know, until we get a mindset that can actually, you know, put all of these things together, then we're not going to understand why two Indian men were killed because somebody thought, and a white person who tried to defend them, you know, got fucked up because some white guy, you know, decided that, well, he was going to do his little bit for God and white America and help Trump out by shooting these people. And then walking into an Applebee's, and I heard this, so supposedly offered to buy a bunch of people drinks and shit while he sat there and bragged about how he just shot a couple of Iranians.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
But but what I'm saying is people today were saying to me, I don't understand how something like that could happen. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean how any of that could happen? You could this particular person. I'm like, you talk about Tibet all the fucking time. Well, it's a human rights issue. I said, yeah, but you don't talk about black people here being blasted. But you want to talk to me all the time about Tibet. Well, I know that you're interested in Buddhism. I am, but I don't give a fuck about Tibet and Buddhism. See, you give a fuck about Tibet and Buddhism. So because of that and because of the Dalai Lama, you pay attention to that particular situation. But right under your nose here in Portland, black people are being discriminated against by the fucking police and by the administration that runs the city. Why don't you talk about that? I said, all the time I've known you, you've never mentioned that. And she told me how negative I am, and apparently I hate white people, and she went on with this whole thing. And it's like, yes, see, you know, the bottom line is I'm challenging you as to why you can see oppression over there, but you can't see it here. And the only reason you even saw it over there is that somehow you got into this, because I know that it's the Dalai Lama that's the link with her, because there's not a day that I see her that she doesn't mention that fucking guy, you know, and she wears her beads and she does all this shit. But when it comes to what's happening here, no consciousness. I don't want to fucking look at it. I don't want to deal with it. That's why I'm saying that, you know, we just talked about Berta Caceres. The people who were really serious about getting rid of the slackness, if you want to be polite, you know, of what's going on in the fucking DNC. Now that Keith Ellison has been, you know, basically given a consolation prize and put to the side, so that the DNC can go as business as usual and play politics. So let's try to get all of the Latinos on our side. Now, I'm not, you know, saying anything negative about this cat that they got up there, but let's be honest. That was a political fucking position. You know, I mean, it was a political move in terms of putting a Latino male up there and not having this black Muslim up there who fucking says that the Palestinians have rights. You know, that they did not want to challenge the Israeli lobby on this shit. They didn't want to motherfucking, you know, turn away Spanish-speaking voters. So they did that. But at the same time, I don't know anything about this man. Whereas, you know, with Keith Ellison, I know that he can be pushed and nudged and edged with an argument into doing the right thing. Because I haven't agreed with a lot of his decisions either. And there's a whole lot of shit that he could have done that he has not done in his political career. But at the same time, if there's enough pressure on him, he can be moved. He can be persuaded.
Well, I'll tell you this much, and this is just based on my own experience, okay? When it came to, I remember when the AIC Act first got introduced, and this is one of those stories I'll take with me all my life because it was beautiful. On lovely spring, warm spring evenings when the House is in session, angry, instead of everybody going in and cramming into the subway that runs between the House office buildings and the Capitol itself, they actually walk out of those big-ass doors and come down the steps and mill around on the plaza and then walk over to their offices. And so on a particular evening, they were doing that, and the woman who had taught, her name was Joan, who had taught me how and the rest of my family how to do this, said, look, you just see one you recognize, you go up and you make your pitch. And that's kind of intimidating, but by God, that's what we were there for. And so Ferg and I were there, and we saw Keith Ellison. We walked right over, told him what it was. We didn't have to push him. We told him about the AIC Act. We told him what was at stake, and he said, my signature will be on the bill in the morning. Thank you for telling me about it. So, you know, he's not the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus for nothing. And I'll say this much, Angry. I like Keith Ellison being in the Congress. For a variety of reasons. He's got his progressive creds are good. The fact that he is a Muslim drives the majority absolutely crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon party. And he moves people. And he speaks truth to power. And so I had misgivings about him running for DNC chair from jump, because one of the things he said was, well, if I win this election, by God, I'm going to give up my House seat. I want that man in the House of Representatives as long as he wants to be in the House of Representatives. We do not have so many progressives with rock-solid bona fides that we can just say, well, you know, hail fellow, well met, go with God. Later. And so I know I'll probably get an email. Oh, goddamn TPP, Tom Perez, just party hat, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'll get that. But the fact of the matter is, one, and none of the people who are hollering all that and you know, out there being all upset, I haven't seen any of them mention the fact that that Tom Perez, who ain't exactly as white as a bar of Castile soap.
No.
Tom Perez was the leading choice, you know, had Hillary been elected president. Tom Perez was the leading choice of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee for Attorney General of the United States. And as I mentioned last night, various and sundry Republicans called him everything but the second coming of Mao and Lenin and Trotsky and Marx all rolled into one.
Oh, they got nothing else to say. They'll pull that out of their pocket because that's the first, you know, card they can read off of. That's right in front
Labor reporter with extremely good progressive creds, who is working specifically in the South right now, said straight up, you know, I think Tom Perez is going to be a good chair of the DNC because my coverage of him, in covering him as labor secretary, he has proven himself to be pro-labor and pro-workers' rights. So I do kind of wish, and I wonder where it comes from, okay? Because this is the now that we are in the Trumpian nightmare, wide awake. I see things, and I do. I wonder where it comes from, Angry. I wonder how these ideas are getting out there and getting such traction with a noisy minority of people who call themselves progressives. And by minority, I'm not talking about ethnicity or anything like that. I'm talking about a little cadre of people who seem to constantly scream the loudest. And it feels, coupled with a lot of other things, it feels like manipulation. Is it okay for me to say that? It feels like it's not organic.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, there's aspects. But first, I kind of really need to know where you're going with this so I can give you
you were talking about, you know, Ellison's good. Ellison can be pushed and everything. I just jumped in on that and then followed on with the Tom Perez business. I'm seeing people say, oh, you know, he's the same old hack. God damn it. You know, Hillary. And.
All right. Okay.
Just another DNC hack.
Well, yeah, you and I both have been talking about this. You know, we both have said it in various ways and at various times, and you've discussed it with a lot of callers to the show that you know, I might use Orwell or whatever because I'm familiar with his work, but you know, that's what we're dealing with. It's things are information wise is such a morass right now in terms of you're not really being able to trust anyone. You know, this mother well I shouldn't do that 45 or Heavy D or Big D or whatever the fuck he wants to call himself.
No, he
called
Easy D. He's Easy D.
Easy D. See, Easy D. Excuse me, Heavy D. I'm sorry, man. Motherfucking, he's up here talking about CNN, the New York Times, the BBC, the Guardian. They're fake news. And like I said, I'm meeting people here in town, and I know people here in town in Portland who are like, you know, I believe him before I believe the regular news, because the regular news is all lies. And it's like, that's funny, because when they were giving him praise and they were, you know, giving him all this fucking exposure because he didn't spend any goddamn money when he ran in advertisements and so on, you know, he liked the goddamn press. They were allowing him to call in every fucking morning, not show up, call in. I mean, they bent over goddamn backwards. He got free advertising every fucking thing. They're like, no, they were fighting him. They were against him the whole time. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we're in a fucking level of delusion that we've never seen before. Or at least my generation anyway has never fucking seen before. I mean, there was confusion during NAM. There was confusion after NAM, you know, when I became conscious. But the fuck if it was like this, you still knew which way was up. Now you got people who are telling me that the fucking earth is flat, Brother Bob. You know?
Look, I mean, I saw the segment about the NBA guy. I saw it a clip on Mar, and I was like, really? No, dude believes the world's flat.
Man, there's a lot of rappers. You know, like I said, we call them hoteps. They are fascists. You know, the pyramids, everything. You know, it's all connected.
Oh, look, there melanin. And the thing is, we have to make certain value judgments, Angry, about who is worth the effort and who is not. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about human worth. I'm talking for instance, I don't know how many Bundyites there are, but I think they're worth paying attention to, because they have proven themselves willing to commit terrorist acts.
Oh, not only that.
Yeah, they take over a wildlife refuge, destroy the place, wreck the place, ruin native artifacts, and, you know, catch and release, and they walk. On the other hand, some uppity indigenous people say, hey, we'd rather not, you know, why don't you reroute this pipeline back where you had it to begin with, going through the white neighborhoods? And all of a sudden, they're goddamn terrorists.
Well, there is one slight thing that happened, though, and I'm still trying to let it settle down so I can see where this is going to go. And I forget what state it took place in, but I believe it was somewhere in the South. A group of people in trucks with Confederate flags and shotguns and other goddamn civilian field weaponry showed up to a black, she was 8 years old or something. They showed up to this little black girl's birthday party and threatened to kill the entire fucking family and all the guests, all the attendees. So they gave this couple 30 years, it was reported today, and 30 years combined, I guess. I guess one got 20, the other got 10, and they were showing the photographs, and I haven't looked at any of the video for it because I really don't give a fuck, about how these people broke down and cried. I mean, I saw their faces. I mean, they just totally broke down. I suppose they feel that they don't deserve what the hell they got. And I'm actually kind of surprised that they were prosecuted at all, frankly, because you've had so many white people, not just cops, have walked, you know, killing non-whites in this country, you know, for chewing gum or for laughing without being near the nigger barrels and everything, and or for walking on the same side of the fucking asphalt as they are. I'm really surprised about that. It didn't have anything to do with Trump, obviously. This happened while Obama was in office. Not that he said or did anything about it. Not that his Justice Department did anything about it. It was an act of terrorism. And I believe one of the charges was a terroristic act or a terroristic threat or something to that effect. But you notice, you would think that EZD would want to take credit in the middle of all these Jewish cemeteries being fucking destroyed under his watch, under his care, under the watchful eye Stephen Bannon. You would think that he would try to, you know, claim this as proof of him trying to do something. But if you notice, anything dealing with white violence at all in North America, he doesn't have, or in Europe either, for that matter. because when he talked about the Sweden terrorist attack that never happened, it turned out there was a terrorist attack that week. It was a refugee center that was torn apart by some fascists over there in Sweden. But, you know, Sean Spicer, Kelly Conway, who likes to take off her shoes and sit on her knees while the black...
What the hell was that?
Hey, man, could you imagine if Sister Michelle decided to do that and take a photograph with her iPhone or her iTouch or whatever the fuck while the...
with her shoes on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah. But I suppose when, you know, you're Miss America or you think you are, you can do that. And we're not supposed to say anything and you know.
Well, yeah. let's move over into that story real quick, if you don't mind. Because this has to, just to give people the background on it in case they don't know. There were a lot of leaders from historically black colleges and universities who showed up in the White House so they could be, I guess, props for a photo with Trump. And at the same time, Betsy DeVos, who knows about as much education about education as I know about particle physics, that is, right up next door to nothing, issued a statement. Here's what Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos, who knows nothing about education, said in regard, as it was described in the press release, following listening session with historically black college and university leaders. A key priority for this administration is to help develop opportunities for communities that are often the most underserved. Rather than focus solely on funding, we must be willing to make the tangible structural reforms that will allow students to reach their full potential. In other words, we're not going to give y'all any money, but we're going to talk about reform. This is the part where people will be reaching for the hockey pucks and the duct tape. I personally recommend the camo motif Gorilla Glue duct tape. It's really classy. Historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs, have done this since their founding. They started from the fact that there were too many students in America who did not have equal access to education. They saw that the system wasn't working, that there was an absence of opportunity, so they took it upon themselves to provide the solution. HBCUs are real pioneers when it comes to school choice. They are living proof that when more options are provided to students, they are afforded greater access and greater quality. Their success has shown that more options help students flourish. Their counsel and guidance will be crucial in addressing the current inequities we face in education. I look forward to working with the White House to elevate the role of HBCUs in this administration and to solve the problems we face in education today. You want me to mute you while you scream angry?
No, because I read it already.
Did you notice that? Historically, black colleges and universities were founded because they were trying to create school choice. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Young black men and women who wanted to go and get a higher education, they founded them for them because, you know, they just didn't want to go to those elitist, smarmy, snotty Ivy League schools. That's why HBCUs were founded.
None of this is new. None of this is new. You know, it wasn't white people. We wanted Jim Crow. You know, they don't want to live next to us. I'm okay with nigga Bob, but I mean, you know, he doesn't want to live next to me. He'd rather live over there where he's at on the other side of the river. He doesn't want to live next door to
They're
me.
Happy over there among their own kind.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so
they don't have running water or electricity or indoor plumbing or anything. They happy over there.
Yeah. And when that boy got lynched last week, I mean, you know, he wanted trouble.
He's asking for it.
And, you know, when you're out here looking for it, you find it. So, I mean, you know, none of this is new. This is somebody who told a fucking neo-Nazi, what was it, last week? I love you, too, on Twitter.
Oh, and speaking of which, just real quick, to divert away just for a moment. Did you know, the Comrade Kumquat said that the bomb threats against the Jewish community centers were reprehensible. Did you happen to notice what he didn't say?
Nah, I don't know. Tell me.
He didn't say stop it. He didn't say this has to stop. Yeah. He didn't say y'all quit doing this. He said it was reprehensible. But he didn't say stop it. And the one time that he did back at the beginning of his presidency, he said, "Well, and I'll tell them to stop if that'll make any difference, if that'll do any good, stop it.
If you force me to say something, because that was the other part. You know, if you're going to keep bugging me about it, yeah, I'll tell them to stop. I mean, yeah, it's bad. What else do you want me to do? But let's talk about a couple of things here. Now, why is it with all of the Negroes that have been murdered, shot in the fucking back, had their necks and spines fucking broken just because they looked at a goddamn cop, with all of those bodies, why is it that they give a fuck about these synagogues and about these graveyards? All of a sudden now they care. All of a sudden, you know, we got to stop the hate. What about the fucking black and native people that have been killed out here? How about that brother who was found in a fucking field that they're talking about, well, the animals got to him. His nose and his ears were fucking missing. His fingers were fucking missing. Somebody killed him. He fucking had car trouble. He knocked on a couple of doors. People would not open their fucking doors for him. And somehow he wound up dead and mutilated, but nobody knows what the fuck happened to him. Another brother, I believe it was Kendrick Lamar, but don't quote me on the name, was found wrapped up in a gym mat. His internal organs were missing. They said that he did it to himself. I'm not talking about the 1800s. I'm talking about the 21st century. But now they're concerned about these things, and the FBI has hopped too. Why is that?
And of course, whether it be the community centers or the Muslim ban, the Mexican purge, the war on black lives, you can't let any of that go by without noting that one of the first things the Trump administration did was to take domestic terrorism off of the task force that was designed to watch for domestic terrorism and changed it to radical Islamic terrorism.
That's right. Now,
that's a pretty clear goddamn message, Angry.
Yeah, but what was the message beforehand from the GOP before Trump even was seriously considered as a contender? The Republicans stopped the Obama administration's Justice Department when Janet Napolitano was running it before she went over to take care of the education goddamn system of the universities in the state of California. When she was running fucking things, she said that she had to table her goddamn report. It was a couple of years, if not longer, in the goddamn making. They came to the conclusion that they came to several times before. The FBI also came to the same goddamn conclusion. White supremacists are the number one fucking threat to the civil order of the United States domestically.
Ta-da!
They
yeah.
had the fucking thing tabled. They had it tabled. Homeland Security was told to shut the fuck up. Sit the fuck down and go back to chasing niggas and Muslims. You're not supposed to be fucking looking at this shit. Now you got the FBI who, again, this is at least the third time that I'm aware of, told the press, you know, that fake press, look, we're scared to share information with local fucking police departments. Why? Because we found out that they've been infiltrated by so many goddamn white supremacists. We don't know what the fuck they're going to do with the data. They might take that intel to protect their fucking drug cartels or drug operations, or they might use that goddamn intel to go after fucking non-whites. We are afraid to share intelligence with them because we don't know how many goddamn neo-Nazis are in the motherfucking police departments from coast to fucking coast. And white people are telling me I got nothing to fucking worry about. You know, and a whole bunch of non-white women who are married to white men that somehow think that that shit's going to protect them from the fucking lynch mobs. These fuckers are serious. They got a goddamn mandate. Like you just said, they are not even looking at them anymore when there was a certain level of fucking attention on them, because they're the ones that are doing 97% of the fucking damage here. Not anybody from the seven fucking countries on Trump's stupid goddamn ban list. I got more to worry about from these fucking white guys that are riding motorcycles and shit around me here in Portland. Because I don't know if you know about this one, but it was either early this year or last year that a young black fellow who had just moved over here to live with his family was run down by a motherfucker in a truck. A couple. The fucker had just got out of prison. He was a white supremacist who had just been released on parole. He was out a couple of fucking weeks, sitting in his goddamn truck with his wife, and decided that he was going to run this fucking black kid down because the black kid said, well, they had words out of a 7-Eleven or something. The kid was using an outlet to charge his phone. I don't know what happened. They had words, and then he decided to, instead of this, you know, whatever the fuck it was confronting him or this going, you know, face to face, this punk motherfucker jumped in his goddamn truck, drove, decided to make a fucking U-turn, and then chased this kid across the fucking Meridians and kept running him over. You had another biker gang. They just murdered one of their own here. Was it last year, a couple of years ago? You know, I mean, there's like, three or four fucking clubhouses here that they know that these fuckers are white supremacists. Do the police sit out there? No. But I go to a goddamn jazz evening. The fucking cops are sitting on the corner watching everybody who comes and goes, staring at all the interracial couples and shit. But at the meantime,
well, it's like
got neo-Nazis.
It's like the story. It's like the story from last night from Stamford, Connecticut, where the interracial couple was facing, I don't know if they still are, $100 a day blight fine because they refused to remove the spray mm-hmm. painted racism from their garage door. They said, no, we're going to leave it here until y'all decide to do something about it. You won't even talk to the three neighbors. The cops won't even talk to the three neighbors that we have identified as yelling that word at us when we're out in public.
But America, right? You know, we're gonna deal with the hate. We're going to bring it all together. We're going to bring it all together. This is the bullshit that he talks. But at the same time, you know, you got cops out here telling people, because this has been said to me. I mean, it's been a long time. I've been married for quite a while. But when I was dating and when I had dated white women, it has happened to me a couple of times where a cop told me, hey, you're making a mistake. She ain't supposed to be with you. You know, I mean, I remember one time I wasn't even on a date. I was just with some people, but I was sitting next to this white woman and somebody got up. He had been staring at us for about a fucking hour. He decided, I guess after he had enough motherfucking whiskey, he decided to come over and say, you know, I was in the military and I served with all kinds of people and I get along with everybody. But, you know, this interracial dating thing is wrong. And I just wanted you to know that. And, you know, I'm not supposed to have any sort of upset.
Yeah, right,
I'm not supposed to be concerned.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause that's just one individual, you know. But see, here's what happened, though, Brother Bob. I then got into an argument with the fucking two white guys that we were sitting with because they felt that I had no right to be angry because, well, you know, he was just drinking. And, you know, there's a lot of black people that say shit like that, too. And I'm like, yeah, but what's the history behind, you know, us being together? Black male, white woman, he's dead, she's raped and thrown out of town. White man, black woman. Well, if they're lucky, nobody talks to him any motherfucking more. If they move into the wrong fucking town, he's either shot or lynched, and then they rape her, but they don't let her leave town. They kill her. And people are like, well, you're talking about what happened a long time ago. No, I'm talking about shit that happened in the fucking 60s. You know, we can talk about, was it the 1980, 81, when Michael McDonald, who was accused of dating a white woman in the South, was lynched from a fucking tree. And I don't believe they ever fucking solved that that case. I mean, we've had several lynchings here in the past since Obama's been in, or what? Or when Obama was in. One of them, supposedly, he was a special needs young man in Louisiana. He hung himself, the sheriff said. He hung himself.
Or, you know, the kid who shot himself, committed suicide in the back of the car with his hands handcuffed behind his back.
Oh, yeah. See, I will never. That one and brother having his neck and goddamn spine broken. No one would ever fucking get me to let that shit go. You know, explain to me how a man can be searched twice. Double handcuffed, but somehow managed to shoot himself in the back as an act of suicide. And nobody motherfucking seemed to understand how that happened. Or while I'm thinking about it, why don't we talk about the situation of a brother? You can still find a motherfucking video on YouTube, and thanks for YouTube because of this shit. You can fucking look at the video of a man suffocating in the back of a goddamn squad car. It turns out that he had a lung problem, and they fucking put him back there with the windows fucking closed. He was banging and screaming for fucking help. They were outside watching. He died on film. He died on the motherfucking internal fucking camera squad car. Nobody was fired. Nobody was ever charged. Nothing. But they worried about these synagogues and cemeteries. Yeah, I'm worried too. Not because I'm part Jewish. I'm worried about the fact that anybody in the United States would even consider some shit like that after World War II. Because I have to remind motherfucking young people that the United States fought the fucking Nazis. Not that the United States fought the Nazis and the communists. The communists in the U.S. fought the motherfucking Nazis, all right? And it's hard to explain to a Jew in the United States that is a 100% fucking dyed-in-the-wool Zionist, a revisionist Zionist. They can't see any goddamn thing else. Who always will make the argument that black people need to shut the fuck up, that we don't want to work and such and so on. Now that these cemeteries and these synagogues are catching some heat, these same sons of bitches are now coming up to me talking about, well, what am I going to do? And it's like, oh, what do you mean, what am I going to do? When I tried to get you to do something about the stuff I just mentioned, well, black people need to
crickets.
Do more. They need to do this. Yep. We need to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that I'm fucking unsympathetic, but it's like, fuck, man. You know, it's like we're picking and choosing who the fuck we're going to help and which ones we're going to see. I mean, he told a fucking Jewish reporter to shut the fuck up not too long ago. And now he's like, oh, I'm at the lead in stopping this shit. I'm not going to stop it, actually. But, you know, we're going to talk about the hate, I guess, tonight. Because I just saw something here.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to watch it. I'll read a transcript. Yeah. I got enough of that man's festering gob in my life. I don't need more pictures. But along the lines, I mean, you and I both know the degree to which the drug laws have been used to provide a means by which people of color, people of low economic resource, can be incarcerated, warehoused, gotten out of the way. Well, it's game on with Jefferson Davis, Beauregard Sessions the Tood. You might recall that several years ago when he was up for being, and I think it was briefly mentioned during his confirmation hearings this time through, but of course it didn't matter. But back when he was with the Justice Department, he said, you know, I used to think the Klan was pretty cool until I found out they smoked the marijuanas. Well, in addition to giving a Black History Month speech at the Department of Justice today, that must have been a real Lulu. He also took time to inveigh against the POTS. States can pass whatever laws they choose, but I'm not sure we're going to be a better, healthier nation if we have the marijuana being sold at every corner grocery store. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Angry. You live in a state with legal weed. California's got medical. Washington's legal weed. Colorado, D.C., except in the federal area. Massachusetts, I guess. Have any of those states started selling doobie down to the quick sack?
No, I mean, you have like Seattle. I mean, the last couple of times I was up there, there's a lot of shops, you know, because it's capitalism. So now that it's legal, it's like when tattoos and all these other things got into the mainstream, they popped up all over the place. So there's going to be oversaturation at least for a while. But no, you cannot just go. No, this is not Amsterdam. You cannot get a couple of grams when you get your bread and your milk and shit and your Heineken. You have to go to a specialized shop, and I think you have to show ID, you know, at least prove that you're over on 21.
Yeah, and there's a guy with a gun, and yeah.
Well, right. I've never seen that. Yeah, I mean,
I remember Bart Kopp talking about the security guard when he went to Colorado before he died, just because, you know.
Maybe, you know, in particular locations. But when I went with people who had terminal illness and had their green cards before the legalization came through, it was, you know, it wasn't like a store. I mean, these, you know, sick people that were coming to get marijuana so that they could, you know, keep their weight up or keep away nausea.
Or stand to eat food.
Which is why my friend was taking it. He was terminal. So we went there, I guess, every couple of weeks to get a prearranged prescription for him. But no, I mean, the last time I went by one of those places, and that was in, I want to say it was late last year. And I was with another friend who was in there for medical reasons. There were only two young people there. Everybody else was gray. And they were looking for help for their pain. I mean, so many people I've met recently have admitted to me that they find that they can use that as an alternative for their pain issues that doesn't have the same side effects as their medications. Now, I don't know anyone who's totally stopped taking their medications yet, but I see a lot of people who are really getting medical benefits from it. Now, maybe it's because I don't deal with potheads, and I don't have time for folks like that, and I don't have any in my circle. There are people who smoke recreationally, but the majority of the folks that I know, at least in my age group, they're using it for pain. They're using it for medical problems. Now, again, you're going to get oversaturation, and you're going to get silliness for a few years, and it happened in the Netherlands. If you really look at the documentation from Europe on this, for about 5 years they had a little stupidity, and then things normalized. I mean, the same amount of people in the Netherlands that use marijuana, I'm talking about, you know, people who are from the Netherlands, as opposed to the Australians and Canadians and Americans and Brits that go there to get high for a fucking weekend. It's about the same amount of people here who smoke on a regular basis. So what?
Well, I mean, yeah, the same thing applies in states like West Virginia with legalized gambling. You know, people aren't beating down the doors of the gambling joints. It's, you know,
it steadies. I can't quote this because I can't remember the source, but some report that said, at least in the Pacific Northwest, that drug use since they've legalized has actually gone down.
Well, and see, that's the thing that got Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions, the Tuds, bloomers in a twist. He was speaking to the winter meeting of the National Attorneys General Association, and there was a column in the Washington Post yesterday, or last week, I guess, by Sam Kamen, who's a professor of marijuana law and policy at the University of Denver. And he said that one of the better ways that they've experienced in Colorado to combat the opioid crisis is to let people have access to legal cannabis. And there seems to be data that supports that. Among other things, there was a 2016 study from Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health, which is not something that you can get into by filling out a form on a matchbook. You know, this is Columbia, for Christ's sakes. Ivy League, all of that. And in that study, they declared adverse consequences of opioid use go down over time in states where cannabis is legalized because people will move back to cannabis from the opioids. Because, among other things, addiction problems notwithstanding, if you're out there but if you're out there buying what seems to be heroin, odds are pretty good it's going to be cut with bathtub fentanyl. And that means the odds are you're going to get a hot dose. You know, Keith Richards famously claimed in his autobiography that the reason he survived all these years is he only got the purest, most high-grade form of heroin.
Yeah, he wasn't like Jerry Nolan fucking buying dope on the street.
He wasn't like, what's his name? A
couple of other people.
The brilliant actor who they found with the needle in his arm.
Yeah. I know you talked. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, me either. But
very good fucking actor.
Sessions took aim at that and said, oh, give me a break. This is the kind of argument that's been out there. It's almost a desperate attempt to defend the harmlessness of marijuana or even benefits. I doubt that's true. Maybe science will prove me wrong. My best view is that we don't need to be legalizing no marijuanas.
Well, I suppose he's never had any. I guess he sticks to chew and
he's a good upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical.
Yeah, well, whatever. I know one goddamn thing that I'm happy about. Now, while I'm not crazy about there being a marijuana business necessarily, all over the goddamn place like Starbucks, I don't think that's necessary, and I actually see that as being counterproductive. But at the same time, one of the things I have to say is that in the Pacific Northwest, legalized marijuana has damaged the gang profits here. It's actually fucked them up.
Yeah, the same way that repealing prohibition damaged the finances of the mob.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is stuff that we've known since the 70s. Okay, just to finish up with the Attorney General. I mean, this is astounding stuff, Angry. I don't think America is going to be a better place when people of all ages, and particularly young people, are smoking the pot. I believe it's an unhealthy practice, and current levels of THC in marijuanas are very high compared to what they were a few years ago, and we're seeing real violence around that. No, dumbass, the violence comes from the prohibition and the aforementioned gangs fighting over turf and market share. I have yet to see anybody go honking on some bubblegum kush And go wild. I don't know. Maybe Mr. and Mrs. Sessions the Turd watched Reefer Madness the night before or something.
Oh, they had to. They had to. I mean, obviously he wants to do another version of that shit, and somebody will take him up on it, I'm sure, because I'm looking at all kinds of evangelical fucking movies here showing up when I go to my pal's house on his Netflix. It's amazing. But they have a privatized prison thing here that Mr. Sessions thinks should be given all of the support that is necessary and needed by the federal government, even though, this thing, if it's privatized, is supposed to go on its own. And in certain aspects, they will let it go on its own. I mean, these places are more dangerous for the fucking security.
Well, and look, those things go hand in hand, Angry. You revitalize federal money into the private prison complex, the prison industrial complex. Well, they got to have somebody putting in beds. So then you turn around and you start leaning on pot smokers again because, you know, they're easy. They're easy to incarcerate because they're not violent. They haven't done anything violent. And you can just send them up for simple possession. You put them in the beds. They sit there for a couple of years eating prison cheese sandwiches. And then you let them out with a felony rap. And they go out and they smoke some more dope. And you bust them again. And they go back in the joint.
Well,
I mean, it's beautiful, right?
That's you. You got. Oh, what? For them, you know, this is a way to keep the poor, you know, in line. It used to be they started out with this bullshit that the Mexican marijuana will, you know, ruin your children, make them listen to jazz music, and your daughters will start having sex with black men.
Oh, I remember I remember the Paraquat scare.
Paraquat, yeah. Well, that actually wasn't, well, it was a scare because they really were doing it.
Yeah, they really were doing that shit. And it's like, does this smell right? You know, and... And there was no internet then, so, you know, you couldn't exactly go to Google and what does paraquat taste like on weed?
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that looks a little too gold. I don't know, man. Seedy shit.
Was it North Carolina? They want to charge people to look at porn? $20 a year or something? They want to cut. They want big. Can look at it if you get a license to look at it, and you got to pay for the license to look at it. And of course, we know you're looking at it because you just paid us for the license to look at it. And of course, those licenses will be public,
yeah. And that ain't going to go anywhere because the deacons are not going to put up with that because they're the ones who are looking at it,
exactly. And all the interracial porn there is eaten up by the Bible Belt. How do I know this? Because you can go and look at the various studies that have been done by Republicans trying to prove that gay people and Democrats, you know, were part of this plan to just, you know, totally fuck up America's morals. And when they ended up, you know, putting this shit out and saying, well, we don't really agree with the results, but this is what the credit card numbers are showing in the Bible Belt. People buy a lot of interracial porn and into all kinds of weird things that involve semen and other bodily fluids. And it's like, well, damn, we thought that was the Republican faggots that was doing that. Goddamn, ableist us. So they were just like, hey, you know, this
Utah and Alabama, man, Utah and Alabama, the two biggest porn consumers in the nation. And it ain't the people who don't go to church. It's the people who do and are so repressed that they can't, you know, I mean... Again, I mentioned the drive-by truckers. I got pushback from Michael in Madison an hour or so ago before you came. I said, he said, don't you dare play the deeper end. That song is not creepier than Steely Dan. And so, you know, sorry, Michael. I got some pushback on that. But the fact of the matter is, there's another trucker song out there, and I've mentioned it a number of times. I think it's called, it's either That Wig He Made Her Wear or Those Shoes He Made Her Wear. Again, ripped from the pages of the headlines about, and I mentioned this maybe last week, the wife of the Church of Christ minister who shot him in the back at point blank range with a 12-gauge shotgun because she was tired of having to put on that wig and them hooker heels just to have sexy time with him because that was the only way he could get it going on.
And
so, you know, your Alabama, your Utah, your Bible Belt, these are your big porn consumers because they can't get their freak on. They're so fucking hung up that they can't live outside their own imposed puritanical notions of what constitutes sex that God would approve of. I mean, that's why there's another creepy minister getting busted. It's like there's a story a day of some creepy mm-hmm. minister getting busted as Bart Cop. Again, we're remembering Bart Cop tonight, I guess, as Bart Cop used to say, with a man in his mouth.
Yeah, but look at Milo. Look at Milo. You know, he and now Bill Maher, too. They got audio of him doing the same thing that Milo was accused of, basically defending pedophilia. I mean, how many goddamn neo-Nazis, bikers, racists, conservative fucking priests another clergy, all of the people who talk all this crazy. I mean, how many transgender people have been killed this year?
You know, seven. Seven. I read that earlier today.
By black men.
Seven. Yeah, seven trans people dead this year. And, you know, then the story from Monday about how they booed the trans teen because he was a wrestler and they made him wrestle against the girls because vagina.
Oh.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to thank the Horn fact checking department this evening, consisting of Darlene, James, and Tracy, all of whom sent me emails saying Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Stephen China points out something.
Yeah, thanks for that. I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah, I don't know. And what a wonderful actor. My God. What a loss. What a waste. Stephen China points out BATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Herb. Bob, you can buy alcohol everywhere. You can buy tobacco everywhere. You can damn near buy handguns everywhere. Taxation and danger pretty much go together. Pot, on the other hand, just ain't fucking dangerous. And the old Southern God can't stand it. And once more, we really can trace that attitude back to the plantation, where if Mary Sue Ellen Jolene Bell Scarlet, whatever her name is, smokes a little of the demon reefer, well. Then she's going to be going down to the quarters to find a book, right?
But they did. That's how George Washington busted his head. You know, in the middle of the night, coming back from the slave quarters, slipped on a piece of ice.
Well, that's
never recovered.
Male privilege. I mean, look, let's deal with it. Thomas Jefferson's married wife was the half sister of Sally Hemings. Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson's wife had separate mothers, but a common daddy. Ta-da!
See, today we call that, you know, executive pimping, right?
Oh, I thought that was executive privilege.
But, you know, he was...
No, that's le droit de seigneur.
Same thing. You know, I mean, if you're going to be open about it and be straight up about it, you know, if you're going to have a house full of you're going to have a harem, right? Because, you know, they did sell those women to other, you know, men that were on their own level, I suppose. You know, that there's like, yeah, you can have Sally this evening. It'll cost you so many gold pieces. But, yeah. You know, she can be your bed wench, you know, for the next, you know, couple of days or whatever. But, or would you like an octoroon? You know, it's like...
Or a high yeller.
You know, they did this. Mm-hmm. Or a high yeller, you know. So they did this. But, of course, if you talk about that, then you got to talk about why there's black people with blue eyes that are real and not contacts. And then you get into all kinds of discussions and shit. And then you go back to John McCain and his fucking denial of this. And then why Trump can come around and talk bullshit about immigration when he has an anchor baby his damn self. Because this is...
Well, even naming conventions, and we're out of time, but you know, I understand why Malcolm X became Malcolm X, because you know, whatever that last name was, that was not his last name. I mean, I was thinking the other night, because I mentioned Richard Pryor the other day. You know, on the one hand, you had Richard Pryor, born and raised in Peoria, and then you got who was the Ohio State quarterback, Terrell Pryor. There's probably a common slave owner somewhere back in the background, or sometimes names were given as an honorific for the people who helped them reach freedom. So, but yeah, you know, that's all weird, and it's all tied up in slavery. By the way, one last thing before we go, Angry, Asa up in the wilds of Canada. Said, here's a legal weed shop here in Vancouver I just drove by. Seems like there's only a lonely girl behind the counter. Doesn't look like there's a guard or anything. Well, that's Canada, though. Y'all are civilized. We ain't, right?
Yeah, that's Canada. Yeah, but even then, I mean, I've never seen a line. I mean, you know, the few times, like I said, I've been, everybody was pleasant. You know, Nobody's
I couldn't
rude,
work in there but just because I can't.
It's
I,
like, hey, how you doing?
I couldn't work in one of those places just because I can't stand the smell of, you know, they got to smell like, I mean, I don't know. Mm. Every time you open the jar, it smells like somebody's been butchering skunks.
I thought that was good.
Oh, it is, but I mean, I like anything, it's bound to get old after a while, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, if you're really a user, I guess not. I mean, I suppose not. You know, it depends. I mean, a lot of people really like cigar smoke because of the aesthetics. Some people really do like the
Yeah, aroma. I love Cuban cigar smoke, but you know what, Angry? The next day when you walk in, they ain't no aesthetics. It just stinks. And that's coming from somebody who likes his cigars. Same thing with a beautiful piece of pan-fried Dover sole. That's a beautiful thing when it's frying. Next day, just smells fishy. So there you go. Angry, I got to get out of here, but it's been a great conversation. I thank you.
All right, my man. Peace.
Take care. The one and only Angry Indian. A lovely conversation to help me get through an evening that was kind of tough. Wasn't feeling great, but I perked up. And that's what always happens with this program. I can feel like crap sliding into the chair, and you guys always perk me up. And for that, I am deeply appreciative. Thank you very kindly, one and all. So we have nudged the Norsky and licked the Lithuanian, and we will begin March, which here at least will come in like a lion tomorrow. We had thunderstorms today. February thunderstorms. Sure. Damn Chinese hoax. That means we finished February to the good. Thank you, one and all. Kind of had to sweat it. Thank you, Angelica, by the way. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Dave. And I'm out of here because I'm past time for getting out of here. Y'all have a good night. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch. Thanks to Cold River Mountain Watch, and always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Good night, y'all.